prophecy of Zephaniah and chapter 3. On verse 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgment. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not fear evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, O Zion. Let not thy hands be slack. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that sorrow for the solemn assembly who were of thee, to whom the burden upon her was a reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all them that afflict thee, and I will save that which is laid, and gather that which was driven away, and I will make them a praise and a name whose shame hath been in all the earth. At that time will I bring you in, and at that time will I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the peoples of the earth when I bring back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. And then in Isaiah and chapter 9, a well-known verses, Isaiah 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Shall we just pray? O beloved Father, we thank thee that when we turn to thy word, thou hast made specific provision for us, both in speaking and in hearing. And we, by faith, stand into that anointing for us all. For me as speaker, for all of us as hearers, that, Lord, we may receive from thee and may receive that word that is on thy heart, that burden that is on thy heart, that it may be communicated to us. And this we would ask together in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. There are two phrases in the passages that we have read, one from Zephaniah and one from Isaiah, that have been very much in my heart. The first is in Zephaniah chapter 3, and it is in verse 15, the King of Israel is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not fear evil any more. And the other one is this, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It's very interesting to me, this burden that came to this young man, Zephaniah. He was a young man. He was probably one of the youngest of all the prophets whose ministry we have recorded in the Bible. He suddenly appeared upon the scene just at the turn of events in the kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom had already been taken away into captivity and destroyed. But suddenly this unknown young man appeared in the streets of Jerusalem and began to communicate a message from God. Now his message, far from being the comforting and enjoyable words we have read about the King of Israel being in your midst, and God resting in his love, and God saving, and God gathering the afflicted and the lame, and doing all these wonderful things, his message was one of unmitigated woe and judgment. If you read through this little prophecy of Zephaniah, you see that he warns the people that a terrible catastrophe is about to fall upon the inhabited world, and that it's going to sweep over Jerusalem and is going to take them. And furthermore, because of their lethargy, and because of their disobedience, and because of their compromise, and because of their worldliness, it was going to affect and involve them. Many of them would be taken captive. Much would happen to them that would destroy their welfare, their livelihood, their future, their security. He says, if you want to look at it, in verse 14, the great day of the Lord is near, it is near and hasteth greatly. This is in chapter 1. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man crieth there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high battlements. And I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung. Now that is not a very comforting message, I suggest. But the ministry of this young man in Zephaniah resulted in one of the greatest awakenings and revivals in the history of the people of God. It directly resulted in the great revival in the reign of King Josiah. Now it was precisely because people listened to what God had to say through this insignificant young man, and because they obeyed the Lord and above all their king, that God finally fulfilled the word, and the king of Israel was in the midst of them, and they did not fear evil. When we read in the Old Testament something of the quite full record we have of the reforms of Josiah, they went further than any other king of Judah and Israel. Now let me just say one or two things about this matter of the king. What is it that burns like a vehement fire in the heart of God? It was interesting, that word of prophecy. What is your expectation of me? It's a good question. In other words, what is our understanding of the Lord? What is our vision of the Lord? What do we believe he wants from us? What is it that he is seeking to do? You as a company are in a time of change. And times of change are never easy. Uncertainty comes in. Perplexity comes in. We lose some of the security of routine, the security of a known way.
What is it that we believe the Lord has for us? What is it he's driving? Now, all believers have different levels of understanding. I mean, if you've just got saved, all you will naturally feel is that only God could save another person. There's nothing wrong with that. Indeed, I believe God has been speaking to you very much about this burden concerning those who do not know the Lord and are holding forth the work of life. But that is not the full expectation of the Lord. Others might say, well, of course, I think it is that we should pray. But even that is not, tremendously important as it is not the full expectation of the Lord. Others would say, we should be a worshipping company. I don't think that is the full expectation of the Lord. The zeal of the Lord of hosts is bent on one thing, and it is to do with the king. Upon his shoulder, the government shall rest upon his shoulder. And of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. And then it goes on, henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, it may not have come home to all of us, if not even to the majority of us, that this matter of government is the key to creation and the key to the conflict over mankind and the key to the contemporary situation in which we're found today internationally. And the key to the national situation in which we're found. And the key to the local situation in which we're found. And the key to the personal situation in which we are found. It is as simple as that. The first words God ever said to a man were these: have dominion. Subdue the earth. It was a matter of government. Man fell, and the whole mess of human history in which we are all involved and all part and all responsible in some way for, accountable over. The mess of human history was the result of man's fall from God's high court. God has never been deflected from this end that he has. He has determined that in the final analysis, he will have the king and he will have those with the king who can govern. Everything else is in one sense secondary. Now, having said that, let me say that wherever you look, when you see this matter, wherever you look in the Bible, you will find it. You will find it, of course, expressed superlatively in some places, such as the second Psalm. Why do the heathen wave? And the peoples imagine a vain thing. They come against the Lord and his anointed, saying, let us cast their bands asunder, break their cords, break their bands. Then the Lord answers, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. The king of Israel is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt fear evil no more, said the prophet Zephaniah. Years before, the psalmist had said and written, recorded, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will tell the decree, this day have I begotten thee. Thou art my son, Ask of me, and I will give thee the nations for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Here in a nutshell is the key to the whole thing. Why this conflict over mankind? Why this conflict over the Messiah? Why this conflict over the church? Why this conflict here in Richmond, in this company, as we face the future and all that it holds? It is a matter of government. Make no mistake about it. Don't devalue it or belittle it. Or just think of it as something, well, haven't we heard this kind of thing before? It is a matter that has bearing upon every single person in this company and upon our way as a people. The government shall be upon his shoulder. God help us if we get our eyes off the king. God help us if we get our eyes on legitimate things and legitimate burdens and legitimate callings and fail to see the king. In the end, it is having an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Years ago, I heard Mr. Sparks say something that at the time I questioned. He was, of course, even then, he must have been near 70, and had a long experience of this battle and conflict, and much very real experience of the house of God and of the work of God. And he said, commenting on a verse in Romans 8, I have discovered that there are so few people who are truly led. Even those who speak most about it. I thought it was a very extreme statement to make at the time, but I myself have now lived long enough to have discovered that to be truly led of the Spirit is a rare thing. And if a person is not led of the Spirit, or if a company or a work is not led of the Spirit, the government upon the shoulder of the Messiah, of the King, cannot be communicated. In other words, there comes a paralysis between the head and the body. And we end up doing all kinds of things that may be right and may approximate even to what the Lord wants, but because it has not got the clear direction of the head of the king, we're in trouble. Sometimes the way the Lord achieves an end is not the way we think. You know, it is much easier to go by the book. For instance, let me take this matter of prayer. So someone says something about prayer ministry. Someone says something about, shall we say, intercession. Let us say that there is a word of prophecy about intercession and the need of it, and God crying out for those who will give themselves. You see, you can get all stirred up on the matter of intercession, and it becomes a thing. It is not a question. Initially, one heard the voice of God, but before you know where you are, you've got a book, you've got a routine, and now it is a matter of prayer, 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 and more prayer. No matter that some of the prayer meetings we may not even be praying out the burden of the law. I'm not saying this to this country. I'm taking this as just an illustration. But it is something that happens wherever I go. People hear something, and it's clearly the word of the Lord because the person who spoke it was under the anointing. And most people at that moment at least witness to it. But instead of understanding that man was under the government of the king, was speaking in the name of the king, was communicating something of the burden and mind of the king, we get hold of a thing. Instead of ourselves being sensitive to the government of God. This little passage in Zephaniah is really wonderful. It covers, in my estimation, every single need there is amongst us. Is there a need for people to be saved? He will save. Is there a need for deliverance? We can use the other word there in the Hebrew. He will deliver. Is there a need of those who backslidden to be restored? I will gather those that were afflicted and those that are lame. Is there a need of new worship, of new release in worship and praise? He will joy over you with singing. I don't think there can be any worship of the Lord unless he's delighted. It becomes an artifice. But when he is delighted, when he is in the midst, when he joys over us with singing, there is an overflow into all our hearts, and we can't help but be caught up in the delight of the Lord and the joy of the Lord. He will rest in his love, no strain. Don't you feel it so often with us? We get the word of the Lord before we so beat that thing in that we end up with a tremendous amount of tension and strain. And then everyone begins to get their hang-ups about it. But it says he will rest in his love. There's not only a battle, there's not only a ministry, there's not only a work, there is a rest. It is an interesting thing that when the king is in the midst, the enemy cannot be there. He may rage around, he may fight, he may utter threats. But it says so clearly, he hath cast out thine enemy. The king of Israel is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt fear evil no more. The fear of evil is a terrible plague. There are some who are afraid to do what God is requiring of them because they feel it will injure them. It is devilish propaganda. You will never be injured by doing what God wants of you. Maybe there is some issue in your life and in your home, in your family, that you know very well should be settled, but you fear that if you settle it, it will cost you a lot. It will cost you everything. It will cost you something. But it will disappear compared with what the Lord will do. When the king of Israel is in our midst, and we hear him, and we obey him, all kinds of things get settled. We don't fear evil anymore. There are some of you old ones who are terribly afraid about the way the company is going. You fear, from what you've written to me and said to me, that somehow or other there's real possibility of losing. But if only we can answer, don't go by a routine or by a form, but by the government of the Lord. If God leads us in new ways, God will undoubtedly undertake and will marvelously bless us as we follow him. Now, my concern is this, and
we haven't really the time to expand practically what this burden is about. But really, you see, this question of government is all important. And I say it to myself, I say it to all the leaders, whether group, whether elders, whether those who've got material responsibility, or workers, or to all of us, whoever we are, if we belong to the Lord. We often think the problem of government is the government. It is not. The problem of government is producing a character in us that is like the king. That is the problem. For once we can hear the Lord ourselves, and there's always got to be fellowship in this matter. If we're all going to sort of say the Spirit told me to do this, the Spirit told me to do that, there's going to be great problems. But I'm not appealing for that kind of thing. What I'm appealing for is that we together really hear the Lord. And the mind of the Lord is not just found in one or two or three, but it's often there is a balance found in some other members of the body that we may not think are moving in the right way or so freely or whatever, but the mind of the Lord is finally found in us all. Our great need is to hear the Lord, and to hear him clearly. God. It seems to me that God is not only saving a people, but he has to bring us to this initial crisis of whether he is Lord. When we've settled this question of lordship, the great problem next is the fulfillment of those words, my sheep, hear my voice. Now don't be afraid of admitting to yourself or to others that you don't feel that you can hear the Lord or you can distinguish, because that could be the beginning of reality in your life. And it doesn't matter what position you hold. If we can only be honest in this matter, we will begin to discover that God has our education at heart. You see, the zeal of the Lord of hosts is going to perform this thing. Of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. And where there is his government, there is his peace. Because the conflict may rage around us, but peace is deep within us. If the Lord had this burden in his heart when he created mankind, and when he persevered with them when they fell, and brought this solution, which only the wisdom and power of God could have conceived and fulfilled. Surely, the thing that's on his heart is to train you as a leader, to bring you to the place where you can govern, to bring you to the place where you can have dominion, whether it's the kitchen sink, or the children, or the household, or whether it's the business, or your career, or your own personal life, those weaknesses in your temperament. It's these things that the Holy Spirit has got to train us to have dominion over. Just like a garden has to be subdued, trained, pruned, cared for, so a home has to be cared for. It has to be somehow or other mastered. Your job has to be mastered. Your career has to be mastered. Your personal life has to be mastered. It's all part of this matter of government. This church that we talk so much about, this house of God, what is it if it isn't the queen being brought to the throne by the king? This city of God that we sing about and get so excited about, what is it unless it is something to do with government in union with the king? So, dear people of God, it doesn't just fall on us, it doesn't just come to us naturally. It costs something. We have deep ways to go through, personally, corporately,
May God help us. I wish I could say something more about our training as a company in this matter of government. Because we have national situations and international situations. And whilst we don't want to just get caught on the political and economic side, dark as they are, the fact is that the house of God cannot be built and completed unless we are hearing the voice of God. And there are times when we must hold back the forces of darkness. There are times when we must stop any premature destruction of cities and lands and nations. It will come because we are in the days of the judgment of nations. What a tragedy it would be if we got our eyes off the king and on things, and suddenly we had a whole string of things that we must do. We must care for our homes, we must go out to outreach, we must pray, we must have intercession, and we see these things as things, and behind us is the threatening dark clouds of a storm that's going to break upon us suddenly, and none of us will know until it happens. And then we'll wake up and think, oh, if we had only realized there are certain things that we would have seen these other matters in the light of. It would have given it meaning. It would have given it perspective. It would have given the whole matter depth. So, dear people of God, heed this prophecy of Zephaniah. We also are moving, whether soon or whether in a decade, we are moving rapidly, irreversibly, towards great unrest in the world. And this unrest will affect the livelihood and welfare and security of every single one of us in this place this morning. None of us can escape. We have a promise from God that when we see these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your heads, your redemption draweth nigh. Let us then in these days that remain to us really allow God to do this work in us. We have always said from the very beginning of this work here that the key to it all was the headship of the Lord Jesus. That in everything, whatever it was, we got on our knees and we submitted to the Lord and we sought the Lord until we were clear. And when I say clear, we meant all of us. That we were clear that this was the way. And on many occasions we found that some very simple people had some hang-up or some reservation, but because we heard that and we refused to act until that disappeared, we very often, the mind of the Lord came to us more clearly than ever. Often it was, balanced. It is very easy for some of us to charge others with being old hands and holding back and dragging their feet and so on. Maybe there is something that they have in their strength. And maybe it is also just the same when some of us feel that things are moving too fast or too many changes are being made or this or that and the other. This isn't it. The final key is to know the direction of God together. To hear him. Really hear him. And move through. May God help us in this matter. For then we have some tremendous promise. He will save. He will gather the afflicted and the lame. He will bring into the solemn assembly, that's the great house of God, in praise. He will joy over us with things. He will rest in his love. We shall fear evil no more. Your enemy has been cast out. Where the king is, there's no place for the enemy. We don't want a king in name, and we don't want